In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Navigating the law can be tough, but we're tougher. Let us handle the fight. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Plus, get free premium delivery on any bed with base. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store today.
Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world. How you doing? This is Sam Tolley with Trusting the Truth. I'm here with Emery McClendon and Keith Luter. We're going to talk about Bowman's buffoonery. Before we get this conversation, let's just watch Mr. Bowman make a complete, I don't even want to try to say it. Let's just take a look at this.
You're not dealing with America's original sin and its disease of hate and racism towards black and brown people and sexism towards women and anti-LGBTQ sentiment. We are not dealing with that. Your colleagues in the Republican Party do not hold each other accountable when it comes to the racism that comes from the party on a consistent basis.
Congressman, I mean, where are you on?
You can't be calm about this. I'm a black man in America. The reason why heart disease,
I'm white, I can't comment.
Listen to what I'm saying. The reason why heart disease and cancer and obesity and diabetes are bigger in the black community is because of the stress we carry from having to deal with being called the N-word directly or indirectly every day. If your colleagues would listen and try to learn and engage and grow and stop being so hateful, we could have a better country.
Jamal.
But unfortunately, we're still here.
Keith, I don't even know what to say, so I'm gonna let you say it.
I didn't even hear it.
You didn't hear it?
No, it kept going, fading in and out on me.
I heard the whole thing.
Okay.
But I've watched it many times.
Had you seen it before, Keith?
No, just part. I remember this guy on. I had it on. I had him on before, and I don't know, just disappeared on me when you had it.
Oh, wow. Well, we both seen it, but I'll just tell you, basically, Mr. Bowman is saying that black people are suffering from heart disease, cancer, obesity, and diabetes because of the stress of being called the N-word day in and day out. So the fact that in his mind, we are called names, very pejorative names, the negative nigger, in his mind, that this is why, or he's claiming that we have a higher degree of health issues, because apparently we're incapable of dealing with the stress of being called bad names.
He's not the only one to say this. There's a couple of people do that. They're actually calling it it was some type of phobia that they're saying that black people suffer from. And they blame it on racism. You even have one lady that was saying of African-American, black descent, whatever they call it, whatever we're calling ourselves today. And she was saying that we're overweight. because of racism. And so these things, I don't even know what to say about it. It started off as a Band-Aid, and then they turned it into a huge gauze pad. Now it's a stretcher. It's just the excuses. It all takes away from that one word, responsibility. Whatever happened to taking, you know, taking responsibility? And I just, I don't buy into that at all. I don't.
Boy, Emory, I remember you wrote a lengthy statement on Mr. Bowman. Why don't you expound on some of your thoughts?
I know exactly what to say about this right off from Jump Street. It's number one, the man is delusional. And some of the reasons that I stated that he's delusional is that I don't agree. And I talked to many people. I put it on my Facebook page, the rebuttal that I wrote. I even sent it to him and asked him to explain it or tell me why he feels this way. Of course, he never answered me. I sent it to a few news outlets, and I haven't gotten any response back from them either. I did get a short response from one black conservative group. But here's the thing. The man is on television and national TV, and he's explaining something that doesn't make any sense at all, because he ends up putting himself and the black race as a whole into a quandary. He's saying that the fear of being called the N-word brings about many, many illnesses and diseases, and not just minor illnesses like the flu or the common cold or something like that, but he's saying cancer, diabetes, heart problems, and so forth. You know, we have to think about this. And then we have to come to the conclusion that, does this happen on a daily basis? Does this happen? The white people walk down the street every day and they see a black person, they call you the N-word. Or do you cringe when you run into people at sporting events, at the mall, on your job, and worry that, hey, they're going to call me this, so I'm uptight and I'm going to get sick or stressed out? And the answer to that is flat out no. It just doesn't happen in 2025. When something like this does happen, it's usually an isolated incident, and it's usually from some fool who's doing this because he's angry at something, or because something has happened in his life and he wants to get back at you, or he's responding to something that black people have done that affects him or his family or so forth. So it's not a common thing that happens. So where's the stress coming from? And then even at that, we know from the Bible that it tells us that words can't hurt you. You know, words can't do a thing to hurt you. You can stew over these words or that word, and you can make yourself sick. But the last time I checked, the statistics did not say that we have heart disease, that we have diabetes, and that anybody of any color, those sicknesses or illnesses was related to being called names or the fear of being called names. A lot of the problems in the black community is because a lot of black people don't go to the doctor. They don't have a primary care physician. They fear going to get checkups, and they don't eat right. I mean, the diet, I mean, you know, when you're constantly eating barbecue ribs and high sodium foods, of course, you're going to get diabetes, you're going to get heart disease, you're going to get high cholesterol, and you're going to be in trouble, high blood pressure, and so forth. But Mr. Bowman, you know, to come out and make a statement like this, and I'm going to revert back to what I said earlier, he actually indicts black people as a whole, because where does most of the name calling of the N-word come from? It comes from the hood, directly from your next door neighbor. If you live in a black neighborhood, all you hear is in this, in that, or when they address you, when they first meet you sometimes, hey, what's happening, my N, or whatever is what their greeting is to you. So if we are to be worried about being stressed out and calling the N-word by people of the opposite or a different races, we ought to be concerned about being called that by our own people. And that is what would make seems like make you sick, because why are we doing that all in public, behind closed doors, and everywhere we go, just about, you hear that. And the biggest problem that we have with that word is in rap music and in concerts and so forth and on the street. You know, it just, you know, befuddles me how he could come up with such a conclusion.
Yeah, I hear you. Keith, just to let you know, I got to mute you until you talk because I'm getting feedback from Starbucks. You know, it, I guess it's the white man's fault that you got a bunch of folks acting like a fool on these Carnival cruise lines as well. This is such an insult. And it falls right in line with what did Bush used to say about the low expectation of bigotry or some nonsense. For him to say what he said, it doesn't make any sense at all. He's talking about us like we're children, that we're incapable of, like you said, there are people who refuse to get health care, people that, you know, they want to eat crazy, and everything Emery said, I can't disagree with. With the gangster rap and all this nonsense and this hood attitude lifestyle, even that mentality, well, when we say it, it's a term of affection. You know, we can say it, but they can't say it. So when I say it, that's my blank. You know, that's honoring this person. But when they say it, it's insulting. No, words have meaning. Either we're going to accept the word as being good, or we're going to accept the word as being bad. But nevertheless, it doesn't make any difference. I worked for racist people before, and we got along fine because I didn't work for them because of their ideology. I worked for them because I wanted to make some money, and they had me work for them because they wanted my service. They did. They respected me and the job that I performed. They didn't care nothing about my lifestyle. I didn't care nothing about their lifestyle. I didn't go home and go to bed with them at night. Come payday, I got paid, and I got paid on time. When we met on work, we met on a professional level. They treated me with respect. I treated them with respect. But I didn't care what they thought about me. I mean, if you're walking around concerning yourself what people think about you, you'll never be able to achieve nothing in life. You walk around, that's a white person. They might think that I'm this, that, and the other. It reminds me of that mentality that they had in slave days or coming out of slavery days, when the black man is not supposed to look up and you see a white person, he either steps off the curb or he holds his head down. Mr. Bowman is perpetuating that same kind of mentality, but in a sort of reverse sort of way, because he's sitting over here saying all the faults that we have are because of somebody else and what they say or what he thinks they say. Of course, this is the same joker that when he was in Congress pulled the fire alarm, you know, because he didn't want people to vote on something. So, Keith, I'll come back to you.
Okay. Well, people become, and black people are guilty of this, people become a product of their environment. It's amazing how, and this goes all the way back to slavery, why it's all black people, I have no idea. But the brainwashing, becoming a product of your environment, it's amazing. And what we're taught and what we believe. For example, you have the Writers Guild in Hollywood, and you have guys, you have people in the Writers Guild, they'll write jokes, for example, and they'll sell them to comedians. So if Chris Rock and Jerry Seinfeld was to buy the same joke from this writer, and it has the N-word in it, the difference is if Chris Rock says that joke, it's comedy. But if Jerry Seinfeld tells that same exact joke, it's now racism. This is what's pounded into black people, product of your environment. And this comes from not thinking. Our people don't think for themselves. They have, for some reason, they don't. We refuse to be lobsters. We want to be crabs instead. That's when the crab tries to go up top, but there's always other crabs grabbing them down. Whereas the lobster, if they see one of the lobsters getting up to the top of the tank and about to get out, the other lobster will get underneath him and help push him up, and the other lobsters will push them up. Our leaders don't want us to be lobsters. They want us to be crabs, where they keep us down, and for some reason, we just can't get our people to change their mind. If folks like you, Emery, and myself, when we teach this thinking for yourself thing, we become sellouts. And it's just amazing how they can get the minds of people to believe this nonsense. I grew up, as I told you before, I grew up around Trump, around Trump, not too far from where he lived. It's amazing that I've seen black people around him, from Muhammad Ali to Al Sharpton, all of your rappers. I believe it was Run DMC. One of them actually owned a home in Jamaica States where he lived. And so people were constantly around him. But all of a sudden, when he became a politician, you had one black person, Al Sharpton, say he's a racist. And next thing you know, all the black people decided, okay, I'm going to believe him. If you watch the Malcolm X movie, you've seen all the black people standing out in the street. And next thing you know, you've seen Denzel lift his hand up and just do like this and like this. And everybody at the same time turned around and walked. Okay, so we do the same thing in our food, our diet. You know, that comes from even, you know, going to church and eating together on Sundays. And even back in slavery, again, we ate the same diet. It wasn't the best. But this guy here, this Bauman character, he's just doing what the puppet masters taught him to do. And he noticed that this is a way that I can control the people. And for some reason, our people are gullible enough to listen to him, to believe him. It's just amazing how they get the minds of people. If you study police, if you study Chicago, New York, out of every 100 black men shot in the street, 93% of them, they're shot by another black person. 3% is shot by the police, but yet and still, Al Sharpton can convince 90% of black America and say police brutality is our number one demise, when we know that's not true. And so this guy can come up and he knows how to play the game to get people to think one way. And it's just, it amazes me. We have to start thinking for ourselves. And for some reason, I'm still trying to pound that through to everybody's brain. And for some reason, they're not listening.
Yeah. Can I interject something? I'm glad you brought all those facts up again. And the thing of it is when Bowman got elected, he went in, first thing he did, of course, was associate himself with the squad. The squad, of course, we know are based, most of their actions are based on racism or LGBTQ and all the rest of that stuff. But the main thing that they did was promote the racism, especially denouncing different programs within the government, saying that they excluded blacks and so forth. So what he does then, he pulls the fire alarms, like Samuel has said. And then he goes and hides and runs, but he couldn't get away with it because there's cameras everywhere. Apparently he forgot, or he was just too stupid to realize that he was being watched. But here's the thing. Even after he pulled those fire alarms, first thing he wanted to blame it on racism. He said he didn't want them to vote on this certain bill that they were voting on. But when he got caught, you know, they're picking on me because I'm black, you know. It's absolutely ridiculous. Everything, it seems, to these kind of people who want to put the blame on everybody else takes away their self-respect, their dignity, and their personal responsibility, as you said in your comment. And it's just amazing how, rather than focusing on what you said earlier about the truth about the police brutality or being afraid of the police and so forth, simply because you're black, they twist everything and turn it around and make it look like it's always somebody else's fault and not my own. And this is one of the things that I see in him, that it hurts and harms our black youth, because most of them, they don't take the time to go out and study to find out if this is really true. They just follow the leader, like the Pied Piper. And one of the things about the Democrat Party is that they always want to promote racism and to make their followers the victims. So what do? Rather than making you a victim of your own foolishness, they try to make you a victim of what they say that the white person is doing, which in reality they're not. This is not an everyday 24/7 problem. This is more of a problem in their own communities, but he refuses to bring that up.
You know, even if we were in the days of Jim Crow, in the days of slavery or post-slavery, the idea that our character is based on what somebody says is demeaning to you as an individual. It infuriates me. I was in a podcast yesterday, and I don't know the gentleman's name, but there was a short video they showed, and this guy was stating that because of the Big Beautiful Bill, and by the way, I don't like big bills, period. I would like a law that they make no bill bigger than 50 pages that everybody could read before, your congressperson or senator approves it. I mean, something that people can read, you know, not these massive things. That's another story. But this guy said because of the Big Beautiful Bill and the reinterpretation of the 14th Amendment, Trump can send black folks to other countries, black citizens, Americans. I mean, this kind of lie, just like this lie about white folks calling you, can give you diabetes and cancer and all this stuff. This perpetuation of fear and hatred from Democrats, and especially black Democrats, and ignorance, it's insulting. I mean, when you got grown people that do not understand their rights and responsibilities as a citizen, that would believe this kind of stuff, that would believe that an American-born black man can be expatriated from his country because of some stupid law that doesn't even apply to that at all, that people will accept this stuff as being true, no more than this nonsense, this buffoonery that this guy put out on national television. He should be ashamed of himself. He should be laughed out of society. The Democrats, if they had any type of sense and any kind of respect for themselves, should even throw him out. But these people don't do this kind of stuff. They go along with this stuff, and you get ignorant black Democrats that fall for the lies, that falls for the buffoonery, and it amazes me. Go ahead, Keith.
It's and going back what you said, also what Emery said. It's just, you know, it. You just, I don't know. I can't believe that our people could be that weak. And I try to get people to study for yourself, read it. Let's go back to when they said Trump's a racist. Al Sharpton said he's a racist. I have family members and friends. Well, he's a racist. Keep blah 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 blah. I said, slow down. One quick question: what did Trump ever do to cause a setback? Name a setback that Trump has caused for black people. I could sit here and name a couple that Obama and Biden has caused, from putting us in the worst financial crisis in over 50 years, putting us behind illegals, okay? Losing jobs, losing homes. You can't name a single thing that Trump has done to black people to cause a setback. And when I ask them this, they just look. When they put the rumor out, well, and you just need one black Democrat or one white Democrat just to say it. Trump is shutting down black museums, and he's getting rid of the things in black museums. Everybody went berserk on my Facebook page, and I went, slow down, stop listening to MSNBC and all the bad press and all the fake news. Go study it for yourself. Go read it for yourself. And we found out Smithsonian had I think the guy's last name was Reverend Clark or something like that. He had a Bible and a book that he had at one of the museums. These museums, especially ran by the Smithsonian Institute, 90% of what's in there are things that are borrowed. It's on borrowed time. The Smithsonian has this tradition of returning these things back to the family. I believe they had Dr. King's Bible at one time. But anyway, it was being this Bible and book was being shipped back to the families who it belonged to, of this, of whoever the this reverend was that marched with Dr. King. Okay, that was the truth. It wasn't that Trump was getting rid of and closing down black museums. The other thing is that Trump took the bust of Martin Luther King and put that out of the White House. And I told people, no, slow down. Don't give me this rumor that he's racist. Go look it up. When we go and research it, we find he put it in another room where he has his conference calls, where he has his, I'm sorry, not conference calls, but what he, where he has his state meetings with state leaders. Okay? We don't go back. We don't search for ourselves. We look at the bill. He's throwing all these people off charity and Medicaid and Medicare. And I said, slow down again. Go back and read it. This thing was six. It started off at 600 pages. It was 900 pages. I skimmed through it. And I told all the people that, especially our people, nope, don't tell me what you heard. Go to the bill. I even have it. I downloaded it on my Facebook page. Go to the bill. Look at it yourself. Don't ask anybody else. Come back and show me where Trump is throwing everybody off of Medicaid, Medicare. You're going to find out that it has a lot of flaws. It has a lot of fraud. And he's got to get rid of those things. That's what he's doing. But these leaders don't want you to do that. Our people, God tells us, how are our people destroyed? Lack of knowledge. That's what's destroying us. We don't go to the doctors when we're supposed to. We don't eat the right things. That's not a racism, white supremacy problem. That's a our problem. That's a we problem. Over the weekend, I believe it was about 50 people shot in Chicago. Six are dead. That's not a white racism supremacy problem. We have a moral issue. Our compass, our moral compass is broke. And that has nothing to do with supremacy. Okay, that's something that we have to get back to God and get this thing settled. But until then, this is what these fake leaders like Bauman, this is what they're doing to us. They see it, and they're having fun as if they're herding cats versus herding cattle.
You know, go ahead, sit back and we watch all this stuff happen in the black community, and nobody says anything, especially the preachers and the churches and the so-called Christian community. And we're supposed to be the most Jesus-loving group of people in America. Black folks, they go to church every time the doors are open for the most part, but that's beginning to slip and slide back the other way now, and many are not. But here's the thing. Bowman knew exactly what he was doing. He was trying to cause division because there were some other things going on around the country, like Keith said, the bill, the big bill that they passed, and all of the things that were in it. The lies were being spread by CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and whoever else, the big newspapers and so forth around the country. And they were doing this, and it was like taking pins and pricking black people and pricking poor people to make them think that something was going to happen that really was not going to happen. And they did it deliberately. And this is what Bowman did deliberately. What they should have been doing and what Bowman should have done is sit down and analyze who's doing the majority of the N-word calling and why, and then what do we do in the black community to curb that? The answer to it turns back to nothing. Now, one of the things that the Democrat Party and the mainstream media can always count on is that the black legislatures and former black legislatures will carry the water for the Democrat Party, and they can use them to make themselves look like buffoons with their lies. And it happens every time. It doesn't matter what it is or who it is. When it was Sheila Jackson Lee, when she was alive, it was it's Maxine Waters, it's Bowman, it's what's her name in Texas?
Crawford.
Crockett. Yeah, Crockett. Yeah. And whether it's Al Sharpton on the civil rights side, whether it's some of the other civil rights movement people, the NAACP, get that as an example. Here they turned down Trump to come to their convention. Every other president's been there, but no, they're going to make a big scene out of it. But they don't tell you why. They don't have no real reason why. But if you ask one of them personally, they'll tell you it's because he's a racist and whatnot, and he's doing things to take money out of the black community. It's not true. Every one of the rumors that were put out about the law and about the other things such as DEI and the things that Bowman mentioned that, you know, we don't going to talk about those things. He said, but I want to talk about the N word. You know, he should have been talking about those things because DEI and social emotional learning and all that were basically aimed at making Black people hate not only each other more, but the white people too, and then blaming it on what he calls systematic theology and the original crime in America. Well, the original crime wasn't actually started, or original sin wasn't actually started by Black people, because the first state slave owners were Blacks who were selling each other over in Africa, and then they decided in order to make more money and to get more trinkets, they would sell them to the white man and bring them over to America. So anyway, looking at this, you know, I can't help but think that Bowman deliberately said this on national TV because he knew he would have an audience. It would be just like some of the so-called killings of or deaths of some of the Black thugs that got killed by the police, and they tried to turn things around and make it look like it wasn't their fault and it was all the police's fault, whatnot. But then when the facts came out or come out, you find out that these guys provoked or disobeyed. They didn't do what they were supposed to do when they got stopped. And it wasn't the police or anybody else on the outside calling them names that made them end up dead. It was themselves. And the same thing with this N-word thing. Bowman knows this. The Black community knows this. And I think one of the things that we need to do is address this and look at it from the standpoint of how we can help curb this. We need to teach our kids American values. We need to teach them Christian values, morality, and stop calling each other all kinds of derogatory names, and don't be looking for other people to do it and then inventing it when it's not. Look at all the crimes that we've had accusations that we've had from people saying that they got a noose hung up in their college dorm, or somebody chased them across the college campus calling them the N-word, and then come to find out that it wasn't true at all. It was a fake, made up accusation just to cause division. So what we need to do as Blacks is sit down, first of all, and look at what's going on in the Black community. Okay, most of the shootings in America are taking place with Black on Black crime. So, Mr. Bowman, my word to you is to sit down with these Blacks and teach them how to be peaceful. Teach them how to have good morality. Teach them how to love one another, which is what we're supposed to be doing anyway as Blacks who depend so much on Jesus Christ. And then we would turn these things around and not be trying to put the blame on other people and saying that this is causing us all kind of diseases and stuff, because it's not.
Yeah, I don't think for one minute that Mr. Bowman believes what he says. I think that he is just carrying the water of the Democrat Party.
There you go.
And that division is part and parcel of what they are. That, you know, I mean, if we look back before Obama became president, this country was not even close as supposedly as racist as it has gotten. We were moving in a direction where people were getting more amicable in their relations with one another. Then Obama comes in there and is supposed to be hope and change. And that he was probably the most un-American, so-called racist, non-racist person that there was. I mean, he was, you know, him being of Black and white ancestry, people were looking at where he was going to sort of fuse the country together, but this man was anything but that. Number one, he was anti-God by standing in front of Planned Parenthood saying, God bless Planned Parenthood. He destroyed marriage in America, which I believe history is going to show was probably one of the greatest tragedies perpetuated to a country by anyone at any time, because marriage between one man and one woman, God ordained, was the first institution he created. And it had been throughout the world. And as the so-called free world of capitalism and whatnot, the United States, we were the last bastion pretty much of hope, unless we want to go into an Islamic country or something. But he perpetuated that change. I'll never forget that when during one of these election cycles, these Black Panthers in Philadelphia were harassing white folks that came to vote, And he had a, and as much as I always disliked this man, I saw that he had a perfect opportunity to mend race relations by making those people an example, arresting them, prosecuting them, and saying something to the effect that my people went through years of racial hatred and segregation and this, that, and the other, and efforts to keep them from voting. And there is no way that I'm going to tolerate this to happen to anyone. But he did nothing. He didn't prosecute those folks. He didn't do anything to them. And him and Eric Holder just let that ride. So it showed me that this person was no different than the rest of these race baiters. Just like when he went in front of, I think it was the NAACP, talking about put on your, take off your house shoes and put on your marching shoes and all this kind of nonsense. These people want to keep separation. These people, the last thing they want is a united America. And the last thing they want is people to consider anything other than the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party, as we all know, let in millions of illegals come in here. And now they have many folks of white and black trying to support these folks that Trump is trying to get out of here. They're calling ICE, the Gestapo. They're doing everything that is to help keep division going, and our so-called Democrat lawmakers are advocating lawlessness. I mean, it's amazing that the people who are in charge of making the laws are advocating breaking the laws. And if you're advocating breaking the laws, how can you expect for any moment of time that the average citizen is going to respect the laws? So, you know, these people are evil. These people are devious, and these people are, you know, they're just about destroying this country. And so, hold on a second. I'm trying to get Keith back over here. So we have to stay on top of it. Go ahead, Keith. Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay. Well,
yeah.
And I agree with everything that was said. We, you know, remember grandma saying from the South, it's not what you're called, it's what you answer to. And again, I keep thinking about, you know, going back to this theme of what we think and how we're presented. I'm sure you all remember the comment that Trump had supposedly made in a private locker room talk, talking about women grabbing him, the, you know what, if you remember that. And Michelle Obama said, and she was speaking to someone, she said, every time she thinks about when Trump said that, it puts a crawl in her stomach. But yet and still, a couple of weeks later, after that story got out, she's at a Jay-Z concert with her two daughters. No, with one of the daughters. I can't remember which one she's with. Jay-Z is singing a song called, I won't say the word, called the P song. He's calling the women the B word that's sitting in the audience. And Michelle is standing in the crowd twerking. So here's a man on stage making millions of dollars calling the women the B word. She's twerking in front of a whole audience along with her daughter. That's morally okay, but what Trump supposedly said, okay, that's a sin, that's terrible, that's what puts a crawl in her stomach. And so our people get behind her and say, yeah. And again, our moral compass, it's bad. So when you get people like Bauman, they see this, they were taught by the Democrat elite, okay? Whether you want to go, we talked about from satanics to different cults taking over the Democrat Party. They were taught, and I know George Soros told them this, they were taught from the very beginning, you want to conquer, you've got to divide. No matter what you do, your best way to conquer is divide. And this is what these guys do for a living. They divide. Al Sharpton, Bauman, NAACP, BLM. They didn't start conquering until they started dividing. The preachers are good for this. You've seen Jamal Bryan. There is no bringing together. You're not going to win. One of the worst songs we sing is, let there be peace on earth. You can't have peace on earth. That's not going to be when these so-called leaders, they don't want that, because if so, that gives control over to the people. And if the people have control, I can't get done what I want done. I can't have my way if I don't have control over the people. And so the N-word, when did we get a patent on that word where we were able to tell other people you can't use it? I don't remember that ever happening, where we can tell someone you can't use a word. You know, and so our rappers, they can say it all day, but if a white guy just says it, it's like, you know, you just admitted that you just committed the unforgivable sin. And I'm saying that we don't have a patent on it. So all this is with working with Indivision. These so-called leaders know it. This is what they're using. And we'll never, ever get anywhere as a people, because they work well when they keep the continuing to divide us. And you and I, and I know Emery, the problem is we're not going to sign on to that. If they can get us to sign on to it, it'll be a perfect thing for them. But I refuse to. And so a lot of our people are waking up. I think this election that just passed, Trump got more votes from black people than any other president has ever gotten. So that tells me it's working. But the more this happens, again, you got people waiting in line just to do, again, the same thing with this Bounding character is doing. And sometimes I look and I go, does this guy know he's making a fool of himself?
You know. Yeah, Emery, I think Keith hit on something. We said we have more black people that are waking up now, that are finally saying enough. I think, unfortunately, we have people that needed prodding, that needed encouragement to find out. And that's one of the things that we're doing here, is letting people know, well, it's okay. You know, you don't have to be afraid. You number one, you're not alone. And number two, no, you're not crazy. You can see it. You can see the stupid stuff, and it's all right to stand up to it. Go ahead, Emery.
Yeah, that's was going to be my next thought, and the words that I was going to say is that a lot of people are waking up to it. So what we need to do now as a strong conservative on the black side is to enforce this and reinforce this in their hearts and in their minds, and then let them know that they don't stand alone, and continue to teach them the correct way and to expose the wrongdoing. So one of the things I think the conservative movement fails at is we don't follow up on these crazy statements and things like this. And the media, of course, we're not going to get them to do it, the CNNs and the ABCs and all that, but even the Fox Newses and the Breitbarts and some of the other conservative voices out there, Newsmax or whoever, you send this stuff to them and say, hey, look, this is my take on this and why I don't think it's necessary for this man to get this much publicity. And here is the rebuttal. They won't follow up on it either, you know, because they're afraid. They think that something's going to happen to them. But one of the things that we need to look at as black people is, first of all, the Lyndon Johnson, when he started the Great Society, he succeeded very well in removing the black man from the families and so forth. So maybe Jamal Bryant should have said that we fear a lack of fathers in the home is causing us stress, causing these single moms stress and these kids, because they don't know who to look up to. They have no moral, leadership. They have no father in the home to mentor them and teach them the correct way that a man should act, and vice versa with the women. Some of the women are so busy working themselves to death or just following the Great Society, where they go out and just party and try to see what all they can get off the government. And then they have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 baby daddies. You know, that's not a good either. So what we have to do is stop finding ways to blame each other for our problems. Sit down and make our family strong once again, as they were right after the Reconstruction era and into the 1920s and 30s and through the Depression and so forth, and even into the 50s and 60s. And then we started to slip backwards. And we need to quit pointing the finger at others unjustly and following, you know, the dictates and the mantras of of the Democratic Party, because that's what they want us to do. And they have succeeded and giving these leaders and giving people like Jamal Bowman a seat at the table simply because they will do that. And that's, we need to get them away from that table and try to interject ourselves into that table and teach our kids good moral principles, good biblical principles, and then what, and pride, and having pride in themselves and so forth. You know, teach people about health, especially Black people, and teach them how, why it's important to go to your primary care physician or to your doctor, why it's important to eat the right foods, why it's important to not call one another derogatory names, and then drill this into their heads, especially our children. And we have a great opportunity to do that. But as I said before, the Black leaders know, and people like Jamal Bryan and those that are in the on the squad, they know that they have a great opportunity to lead people who will not check facts, who will not do any research, and who will just basically believe anything they're told because the Pied Piper is saying it. So we need to really confront that and bring things back around and bring back self-esteem in the Black community.
Yeah, I let me add to that. I think we need to expose and reject a lot of these so-called leaders that are leading us straight to hell, you know, and not accept these people at all. And we need to be able to accept the truth and look at it. And for those of us who call ourselves Christians, we need to live from a biblical worldview. One of the things that, you know, shocked me, and maybe it shouldn't, when I went back to Detroit to visit my wife and her family, we would leave poverty-stricken area of Detroit, and about 2 miles down the road coming to Dearborn, that is full of Muslims. No graffiti, no boarded up buildings, no burnt out places. Everything was clean. Everything was green. Everything looked decent. And if we Christians, you know, need Muslims to set an example for how our city should look, we got a problem. We got a major problem, you know. You know, if we say that we have the truth, that we have the God of the Bible, and yet we got to go down the street to look at what people who we say believe in a false God, and they're alive. They don't have the gangs. Now, they don't have any of that stuff that we're dealing with on a constant basis that we have allowed and accepted. Now, I would say that, I don't believe in Islam. I don't believe in Muhammad. I don't believe in any of that stuff. But the fact of it is they believe it, and they are living what they believe. So we got a bunch of folks that say they're Christians, and they're obviously not living what they believe. And when I see 20 or 30 liquor stores and 10 churches on the same block, and I don't see any progress, that makes me wonder what the heck is going on, you know. And then the majority of these folks are supporting a party whose policies are totally antithetical to the God that they claim that they support. Then it's like there's no wonder we're not getting nowhere. Satan must be grinning and having a good old time, because we, you know, many of us are spinning our wheels, supporting demonic policies while they have us rejecting any kind of attitude from the Republican Party. Many years ago, and rightfully so, the Republican Party just gave up on Black people. They wouldn't even try to reach out to them because they thought it was a waste of time. So they would go ahead and go on the other direction. And then, of course, the Democratic Party would say, well, yeah, they were racist anyway. They didn't care nothing about you. Well, Trump came in there and said, what the hell do you got to lose? So what did they do? Make him the devil. While he was reaching out to Black people, while he was bringing in policies that would help HBCUs and help, you know, poverty zones and all kinds of stuff. But the Democrat Party would just continually eviscerate him, keep Black folks stuck on stupid, when the white person, when black folks moved into white neighborhoods many years ago and the white folks moved out, they said it was white flight. When black folks tore up the neighborhoods and white folks came back and bought areas and fixed it up, they said it was gentrification. We have to accept responsibility for who we are and what we got wrong and what we need to fix, or we'll never get where we need to go. Go on, before we get out of here. Keith, sorry.
Oh, let me interject something real fast. Go ahead. I just want to say something real fast. If we want people to not call us negative names, then we've got to stop acting like idiots and give them something to look up to us for and to show examples that this is not us. You know, and then those positive words coming from ourselves and from them will help us to progress in this country.
And to back you up, Emery, guess what? The three of us are doing that. We are that example. Where we are that example. After we're talking post the Civil Rights Bill, the number one thing we did that was wrong, we got away from God. We got out of the order of God. We're completely out of the order. You mentioned Muslims. If you go, I think it's, don't quote me, 125th Street or 150th Street in Harlem. There's a section there where the Muslims walk around, the children are neat, the women are neat, they're beautiful. The Muslims, black Muslims, some of them Nation of Islam, they're walking around positive, they no attitude. As you said, the buildings, the buildings that were boarded up, once boarded up, they're not. There's this one particular building, they actually guard the building and they keep it neat and the area neat. Well, who's inside of that building? It's the office of Bill Clinton. Okay? This is who they're guarding. We as a people, the number one downfall, we after the Civil Rights Bill was passed, we got out of the order of God. Muslims, for some reason, they're in that order. It's supposed to be God over Christ, Christ over man, man over wife and children. We're definitely out of that order. And this is the number one thing where we just went downhill from there. And if we reverse that, get back in that order, I think we're going to be great. But the number one thing is our number one enemy. It's our own people. Al Sharpton, if there was no racism fight, okay, he'd be out of a job. They wouldn't make money. Their money was made off of what they call so-called racism. They made their money off of race baiting. They didn't make their money off of racism. He would love nothing more if he can find out that a cop shot a black person, a black kid. Okay? This is how they thrive. And so we as people, we have to get back to the order of God. That is the number one downfall. If I had to say anything, that's it.
Amen to that. Sorry, give me some closing thoughts, Emery, so we get ready to shut this puppy down.
I agree totally, 100%. You know, why aren't we doing the things that are positive in the black community, showing people that just as good as you can call yourself an N-word, you can call yourself positive things and pat each other on the back. You know, we continue to go out in the street, act stupid, shoot one another. Crime rates are soaring in the black community. Just look at over the last few days, Indianapolis, my city, Fort Wayne, South Bend, Indiana, California, LA, and other cities where they're in the streets, or even Philadelphia the other night when they had that shootout at that, I don't know what that building was, like a restaurant or something. They were shooting it. I mean, that sounded like a war zone. And I can guarantee you, if there would have been some audio that we could understand and hear, you would have heard them calling each other the N-word and saying that I'm going to kill you in and this, that, and the other. Now, why couldn't they show love for one another? They were at a restaurant. Should have been sitting down eating a burger or a steak or something like that and enjoying yourself. So whenever we give people a reason to look up to us, we will begin to treat ourselves better and they will treat us better also. But I don't see in my day-to-day living white people demeaning black people. As a matter of fact, many of the people that I know in these different communities and so forth, they don't go around looking for things to do or names to call black people. They're trying to help. They're trying to bring unity. And we should be trying to do the exact same thing. And that's what, like you said, we're here for, us three, is to try to help carry that ball and to get people to know and do positive things. So when our leaders begin to do that and we begin to drop all these negatives, I think we'll see a lot more improvement. And if we stop all these falsities and bring out the truth, we'll see some change. Hopefully, it won't take them too much longer to find that out.
Amen. And I think Keith and Emery stated it well. And basically the bottom line is we got to get serious about God again as people. If we seriously embrace the God that we claim that we serve, everything else will fall in line. You know, it's the fact that we stepped away from God. Like Keith said, where these problems really started. Even when we were back in Jim Crow area, the black family was way better off than it is now. You know, when they were calling us the N-word all the time, the black family was way better off than it is now. But when we embraced the great society, when we embraced government as father instead of our father in heaven, we started going down the tube. So we need to go back to where we were. Not to Jim Crow, not to slavery, but on our knees to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, who we claim saved us. You know, before he saved us, we have to remember that he was Lord first. And if he's not Lord, he's not Savior. So we that call ourselves Christians need to go back to God. We go back to God, he will heal our land. He will heal our families. He will make us the image bearers that we're supposed to be. We won't have to compare ourselves to folks that we say don't even believe in the Lord. We must submit ourselves to God, and God will do the rest. This is Sam Tolley, and I'm out.